Welcome, everyone, to episode 38 of the Battle Cats podcast, where we talk about everything Pokemon Go, Go Battle League, and Pokemon Unite. And it's been a while. I'm sorry, everyone. I was sick, really sick, for a week. I recovered well, and then we couldn't find a date to record the second week. So it's been 2 weeks since we've been able to make a podcast. So I do apologize, but we are back. We are in full force. There's a lot of stuff we want to talk about today. Including the Ultra Unlocks that's happening right now, Go Battle League Season 8. I have a story. I hit Legend this morning, Caleb.
Oh, wow.
In Master League. I've never done it before. Master League has always been my Achilles heel, and I said, you know, I'm just going to conquer this thing, and I did. I absolutely went on a rampage in Master League this week. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about hear us, Niantic. We'll definitely be diving into all of that. So if you guys want to hear us, because I know we wanted to talk about that when it first happened, but I couldn't at the time. So there's a lot to talk about today, and then we'll talk about a little bit of Unite at the end, because there's some new content that's been brought to the game and is coming out. But Caleb, how have you been, man?
I'm doing well, and I too apologize. It's not just Niantic's fault. It was some scheduling issues on my end as well. But we are here, and we got kind of stuff to cover, but not really at the same time. Event wise, I don't feel too bad because everything that's happened so far in Pokemon Go for the in-game events, we pretty much covered leading up to this.
Yeah.
So we didn't actually miss a beat in that regard. We're talking about EV Community Day for the longest time with all the moves. But yeah, and congrats on Legend. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah.
And I don't know why I thought you hit Legend already this season, but I guess
the seasons
are blending.
I got back when the start of Great League Part 2,
mm-hmm.
I got up into 20, like high 2800s.
Yep.
And then Ultra League dropped, and it was an absolute
dude.
XL. It was nothing but XL Pokemon.
I understand.
It was very, very tough to climb without XL Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I ended up dropping. I slowly faded back down into 2600s.
Mm-hmm.
And then Master League started, and I was trying different stuff out, and I really wasn't getting a rhythm. And then I started just PB Poke updated the team rankings that he had.
Uh-huh.
So I went through there and tried to look for teams that work well with my play style and Pokemon I have actually ready to go. And I found one, and I practiced with it, and then I used it. And then in 4 days, I climbed 400 rating.
Wow. So, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was a ton of fun. Should we talk about the team right now? I don't know.
Let's talk about their GBL section. Keep people hyped.
Okay. Keep people hyped.
But yes.
Yeah, so we got Ultra League Ultra Unlock 3 happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually made a video this morning about it, which if you're listening to this, it's probably live on the YouTube channel, but kind of dove into there's basically four new Pokemon from the Galar region that we have. There's going to be five with the second legendary.
Yep.
And what they can do in Go Battle League. Two of them are absolute, I think, like a whiff, and it's because of their moveset. Like, one of them's fast moves are Takedown and Tackle. And I'm just like, oh, I think it's the Dubwool, I believe it's called.
Uh-huh.
Where it's got, you know, it's got Crunch and Body Slam and Wild Charge, I think, or might have been the other one, but its fast moves are holding it back. Like, if it had better fast moves, it could be relevant. But I'm really impressed with Phalanx brings to the table with Counter, Superpower, and Mega Horn. And I think Mega Horn is kind of nice because that pressure chip damage, or not chip damage, but like a good pressure against some common grass or psychic. So like Defense Form Deoxys, Cresselia, you know, Meganium, Venusaur, maybe like, you know, Abomasnow. Well, I mean, you have close combat and or Superpower and whatnot, but
mm-hmm.
It's just some nice added coverage that's different. And it can beat Skarmory in the one shield, but it's kind of funny. You have to throw Mega Horn first and then the superpower.
Kind of reminds me of the Therian Landorus, where you have to like bait with a Stone Edge before superpower, even though Stone Edge is more energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to get debuffed too quickly. Superpower counter is really nice though. It's a good combo.
And then Zacian, I believe it's called Zacian, the sword. I call it Sword Doggo.
You know, both of our pronunciations are probably never on par with most of the community. So I'll defer to you, though, because I don't really know any better. So
yeah, okay. All right. The current legendary dog that's in there, it's the Pokemon Swords version, has a, I mean, they have really nice movesets. This thing's got Snarl, Play Rough, Close Combat, Wild Charge, and Iron Head.
Mm-hmm.
So for Master League, that coverage on the meta is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And
it reminds
me of
Gramble.
Yeah, it's kind of like Gramble, but they added in the Wild Charge and Iron Head.
Yep.
Like, it's huge because you could use it, like I said in the video, it's like you could use it as a safe swap. I think that's where its prime focus is going to be for Master League. Mm-hmm. You could lead with Melmetal and safe swap the Zacian. And if they have a Togekiss in the back, they want to keep that thing away from Melmetal, and they'll come into the charm versus charm. But then you could be rocking Iron Head or Wild Charge,
right?
Both of which are going to be huge pressure, you know?
Exactly.
And you got Close Combat for, you know, Melmetal, Excadrill, you know, Groudon, Dialga, and then you have Play Rough for the Dragons. And it's just like, oh, it's just a beautiful moveset where it's like, oh, it's a kind of like a miniature Mew. Like, you don't know what this thing's about to throw at you.
I don't think anything can wall it off either. So
Everything is going to take neutral super effective from it. And with Snarl's fast move on safe swap, man.
Yep. And you don't have really any poisons in Master League, you know?
No, like, you don't.
To check fairies in the other leagues, we got a lot of poisons lately, but now it's pretty much just steel. But
you
got close combat, you know? Even Wild Charge does a decent amount for neutral there. So unless you're going against like a Dialga or something, but... it looks like a pretty fun one. Definitely one worth rating, in my opinion.
Yeah, it definitely looks fun. And I got it from Go Battle League Rewards. It was my legendary reward this morning, which is cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the event's not even live for me. Yeah, it goes live in 3 minutes. So
okay.
Looking forward to that for sure. I haven't done any battles yet today, so
yeah. So I think like the other ones, you know, you can catch them and hold on to PvP IVs. The Phalanx for Great League and Specialty Cups potentially, and Ultra League Premier Cup, it also looks really nice. Like, think about Abomasnow, Galarian Stunfisk, Umbreon, etc., etc. It's just another fighter added in there with Psychic and Grass coverage. So kind of similar to Sirfetch'd in a way, where it has Brave Bird kind of for like the Grass or Night Slash for the Psychic, but in this case it's Mega Horn, which isn't... It's a good move, but it's also not stab, so yeah.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah.
It looks like it's gonna be spawn wise it's gonna be interesting. There was also that other Pokemon too, the Squirrelix, right?
Or
not Squirrelix, sorry.
It's a squirrel.
It's a squirrel.
That's what I called it. I'm like, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's a squirrel. And its evolved form is pretty nice, too.
It's a green dent, sorry, is the name of the evolved form.
Yeah.
And then a Squovet, or Squovet? It's hard to pronounce. It's a pre-evolution form. Squirrel. That one's moveset, it's a little, we'll see. I think it's better than the Dubwool, but but it's got Tackle, Bite, Bullet Seed for the fast moves, and the Body Slam Crunch for the charge moves.
That's like one of the only Pokemon I know that only has two charge moves.
Yeah, it's got more fast moves than charge moves, which is kind of weird.
It is weird, but the Bullet Seed is nice. And what I liked about it is it's just like Jellicent in every league just doesn't like this thing.
That's true. It's normal type too, so you're going to really use the ghost stuff.
You got that resistances as well. So I could see that as well being a nice safe swap if you're running a double tank backline to draw their only fighter if they have it.
Bullet Seed's a really interesting move for it too. It's like the only grass move it learns. But Bolt Seed itself doesn't actually do that much grass damage, so it's just kind of odd.
Yeah,
but I mean, I guess like it does a little extra chip damage with the Mud Boys. So
it adds up, and it having the same energy game as Snarl, makes it a really nice safe swap. Plus, Body Slam spam is real, and it's pretty bulky too.
Mm-hmm.
So you might get yourself shield advantage on fighters that come in, and then let your second tank close it out with two shields, probably.
Looks like, unfortunately, another XL Mon too. At low 50, it hits 2679. So
yeah,
definitely. And at low 40, it hits 2370. So yeah, definitely something you need to.
Yeah, so for Great League, all of them don't need to be XL. They're just normal. Mm-hmm. But for Ultra League, they all have XL potential.
Yeah, so definitely catch the squirrels.
Catch the squirrels.
Yeah, for the double, actually, it's actually kind of even more wild. It's 2478 is the max CP for that. A low 50, actually. So you had the best buddy that one. But that one doesn't look as good at the moment, but you never know. If they buff tackle or takedown, things can be quite different. Because wild charge, body slam, that's pretty very good charge moves. So mm-hmm. definitely prep for that just in case. But yeah, long story short, just get the XLs. Catch up. We got 2 weeks to catch. Or a little less than 2 weeks, I think, right? But
yeah, there's some good Pokemon. But I mean, if like you're going to focus on one thing, I'd say the Phalanx. Because, you know, it's just got super solid coverage. But
Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, that's that event. There's also... Oh, wait. Well, I guess the big things are also Shiny Galarian Stunfisk is available now, as well as Shiny Galarian Weezing and Shiny Galarian Meowth. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is going to like... It's only behind eggs and raids, so it's behind a paywall.
Yeah. I'm aware, too, which is why I'm like, eh.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm not even bothered. Like, they've had Galarian Stunfisk before in the wild for us.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, now to the shiny, they put it behind eggs and raids. I'm just like, I'm not really surprised, and I'm also not gonna pay for it. So
yeah, I also recently made my Ultra League Stunfisk. So unless I get a Shundo from a hat, just it is what it is. But I'm not going to go hunting for that particularly. Yeah. Plus, they'll be around for a while afterwards. So, but those will be hatching from 7 kilometer eggs.
Mm-hmm.
For those that do want to do those, and then And then in raids, they'll all be in raids too. So, but yeah, those are the main things for the Ultra Unlock 3. It actually just started for me too. So,
okay, nice.
Yeah, get a bunch of shadows, new shadows.
Yeah.
How's your community, by the way?
It was all right. We didn't go out and play. I mean, we've done the other three EV community days we've had. You know, like, I got so many. Oh, my gosh. So I just had the Go Plus kind of catching them at home kind of thing. I wasn't too bothered. I have so many. I have 100 plus EVs of, like, different PvP IV spreads because like, I have to constantly try to evolve to get the different ones, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just from we've had two Decembers of EVs and a previous original EV community day, and now that it's too many EVs.
We have another December EVs
and another December, so it's gonna be five EV community days. So I'm like, I've had my fair share of EVs now, so it wasn't a grind for me, basically. Even though it would have been great to get a ton of XL candy to get Umbreon up, I mean, I've made it to legend without it, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about going on the grind for that right now.
Yeah, and the psychic Umbreon, it's not a bad thing to have. It's not like it's not necessary in my opinion too. So yeah. I personally also didn't play too much as well. I actually didn't even evolve a Great League Umbreon with psychic, so hopefully that doesn't backfire. But the thing is, I didn't have a good spread one anyway, so I just didn't bother. But I did evolve one for Ultra Leagues. I had an extra hundo saved as well. I evolved two or three Sylveons, but
nice.
But yeah, I didn't really go particularly hard at that. I actually didn't involve any of the most of evolutions, like
none
of the Flareons, Vaporeons, Jolteons. Like, I was just like, I don't have good spreads of these, so like let's hope they're not necessary for PvP.
If they become December. Necessary, the ones I already have, I'll consider TMing, you know.
True.
So that's how I'm playing this game.
I think Leafeon, you have to elite TM anyway, right? Because it's just a fast move that I learned.
No, it got last resort on a December community day.
No, I know, but like this time around, did you evolve a Leafeon?
Oh, no.
So what I was thinking is, because when you evolve Leafeon, it got Bullet Seed, right?
Oh, right.
Did it also get Last Resort or not? Because if it didn't get Last Resort, you had to Leafeon one of them anyway.
Oh, yeah. Know? So I might as well do the ones I already have. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I should probably ask someone that as you evolved a Leafeon, I didn't evolve one. But
it probably only got Bullet Seed and not, there's no Last Resort.
So at that point, I'm just like, eh. So
I might as well, because I have other ones. I have good PvP IVs that are shinies.
Yep.
That are just sitting there. I haven't powered them up or anything because they haven't been meta relevant.
Yeah.
But they have last resort, so I'll just elite fast. You know, that's easy enough.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's what's going on, and that's basically wrapping up August for us. We haven't had any news about September other than the finishing of Ultra Unlock, but I think that ends right at the end of August, right?
Yep. Last day is August 31st. So we have a little under 2 weeks for this event. About like 11 days or so.
Yeah.
There hasn't been really anything announced regarding that, which is probably for the best. I think Niantic definitely has some other stuff to work on at the
moment. They got some fires in their building they got to handle right now.
We'll address that after we talk about GBL.
Let's dive into GBL. So my Master League team, Garchomp on the lead.
Uh-huh.
Dragontail, Sandtomb, Earthpower. Melmetal in the back, and then a Dragontail, Aeroblast, Lugia safe swap.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Lugia is super strong these days.
Super, super strong. My goodness. Mm-hmm. And the amount of times, like, when you just throw, because if I safe swap into it, I'm looking to flip or get myself shield advantage, because reading teams when I have to swap out, Melmetal with 2-1 or 1-0 shields can sweep them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just throw that Aeroblast, and my goodness, like in the video you guys are going to see, like I land an Aeroblast against an Excadrill and it does like 75% of its health, and I get the boost and I survive its 3 rock slides. Yeah. I farm it down. Like, it's just, the Lugia safe swap is so dead. And so many times people can't come into that. The only thing that can safely like come into that is a Melmetal.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And it still takes 50% of its health from an Aeroblast, and it can't take it out with Rock Slides right away. You still got to throw 3, basically.
Exactly.
What I found on my end, if someone safe swaps Lugia, I throw a Sandtomb, then swap into my Melmetal.
Mm-hmm.
That way I only have to throw 2 Rock Slides, and I can like over farm a bit, so that way they don't really get to Aeroblast and Sky Attack.
Right.
So I just let them hit me with the Aeroblast, but then I come out with quite a bit of energy. It's nice gameplay, but basically the team, my goodness, absolutely ripped. Leads I'd swap out of right away would be Togekiss, Dialga, right away, or I never saw a Sylveon lead.
I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, but teams, and the Togekiss one is the hardest to beat, because Togekiss will typically have a Melmetal or Excadrill in the back, and then either Dialga or Giratina Origin. The Dialga one, the Dialga variant, so a Togekiss Double Steel, is much more manageable because of Melmetal. But the Togekiss Melmetal and then Giratina Origin is near impossible to beat.
They just come in. Yeah, they have all their counters lined up.
They have everything lined up. Like,
you need to land the Aeroblast and flip that.
So it's tough. But from my experience, I probably ran, because I went 45-20 with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably faced like maybe 6 or 7 Togekiss leads. And I won like 2 or 3 of them. And it was because it was the Double Steel variant. And then the other ones are Giratina Origin variant. It's just kind of like you get to the end and it'd be Melmetal to Giratina Origin, 0 shields to 1 shield or 0 shields to 0. But they have some more health and a Shadow Ball kind of ready. So it's tough. But the team did super, super well for me. Garchomp absolutely impressed me. Like, this thing in some neutral matchups, man, once you get a Sandtomb landed and you're going, Dragontail just destroys.
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely destroys.
That Dragon Tail buff is huge for Garchomp. It's like, I know a lot of people like it's hard to use, and I don't disagree with that, but like if you learn how to use it and you get it in those matchups, oh man, it just adds up. You don't even have to throw anything besides Sand Tomb.
Yeah, I know. Like I'm so happy when people like I face Giratina Origin or Giratina Altered on the lead and they stay in. Mm-hmm. Do you know how unbelievably happy I am because I can keep Melmetal away from that?
Yep.
And Dragon Tail Sand Tomb and they don't shield and they don't realize that I can just farm them down.
Yeah.
I can shield once if I'm sensing a Shadow Ball is gonna be there. So like Garchomp can survive a Shadow Ball, right? Mm-hmm. But Garchomp can't survive a Shadow Ball and an Ominous Wind with the Shadow Claw damage.
Right.
So, you know, if they throw that Ominous Wind first, I'll typically no shield the first one. And sometimes they go for Ominous Wind. So then the next one, they go for the Shadow Ball and I shield that and farm down. And then they bring in a Dialga. And I'm like, I just farmed you down. I almost have Earth Power. So I throw that Earth Power. And sometimes they no shield the Earth Power thing. It's just going to be a Sand Tomb. And then Garchomp just destroyed the whole team.
And you saw the Melmetal in the back.
Yeah, or Melmetal leads, man. Oh my goodness. If you're a Melmetal lead user, watch out because they'll stay in and build up to two superpowers.
Yeah, that's not a winning matchup for Melmetal.
No, it's not because superpower doesn't do anything. Garchomp can take like five of them. And then I've just gone straight Earth Power right away. Just throw the Earth Power and they no shield it and get one shot. I'm like, okay. Oh, it's great. It's a lot. It's a solid team. Super fun. Once you learn it, it's very fun. But if you want to counter it, right? Togekiss, Melmetal, Giratina Origin. That's how you counter it right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That looks like
but yeah. When, 4 days, I just ran this week, Monday to Friday. I took yesterday off, Thursday off from battling. And it was, oh my gosh, so much
That's
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So. Congrats, that's huge.
Thanks. Still, yeah. It feels great to finally be able to compete in Master League Classic. It's been seven seasons of, I mean, granted, Master League Premier Cup back when it was a thing, I could compete there because I built up, I had Pokemon from raiding, right? Machamp, Dragonite, you know.
Who would have thought that the thing you'd be competing in is Master League and not Ultra. But that's kind of the state of Ultra League.
I absolutely love Master League more than Ultra League now.
Yeah, it's Ultra League is brutal.
Ultra League, oh my gosh.
That's what I've been playing, but I do not recommend it for those that don't have the XLs.
Yeah, you need XLs. Or if you're at such a low rating or still leveling up, right? If this is a season where you're kind of just like, I'm going to get to 20 just to get the rewards, you're probably not going to run into many XL Pokemon. So you can still do Ultra League cost effectively.
Yeah. My recommendations for those that really do want to play Ultra League, you know, and don't want to take a break when Ultra League's around and stuff like that, just you got to start building up the XLs. You know, I didn't have a lot of XLs for
Jellicent,
a while too, but
Politoed, Alolan Ninetales,
G-Fisk, Mandibuzz, they're expensive.
Pidgeot, which is going to be coming back.
Pidgeot, yeah. Hopefully that's actually a little bit cheaper for most because Pidgey's around quite a bit. I've had my Ultra League Pidgeot built for like over a season now at this point, so I've been anticipating it. But
yeah,
I actually don't like it. I don't know. I don't know how many times you've used it, but it's fun but to use, but at the same time, like those feather dances do no damage and you have to shield everything like a Dewgong the lead, you know, like but even worse because it's more frail.
Yeah.
And if they swap out, then there goes both your shields and they're not debuffed anymore, you know. So
I love using Pidgeot on safe swap.
True. Yeah. A fun fact too. Pidgeot on the safe swap, obviously you have to be running Gust, can't be running Wing Attack.
Yeah.
If they counter swap with Frostlass, if you don't throw a single move and you just go straight Gust, you beat the Frostlass with 100 NG. But you have to shield, double shield. But you should get at least one shield back because you have a Brave Bird and a bunch of
fun
dances,
fact for Great League, if a G-Fist swaps into you, and as long as you shield that like first Rock Slide, you can just straight Gust it and beat it.
Exactly.
It's what's crazy is I was looking at my YouTube channel because the first team I made, I said Feather Dance was overpowered, Pidgeot was overpowered, and I used it that first day and then it was gone. Like, this is day one, I used Pidgeot. I put Mandibuzz Pidgeot on the back line for fun and Swampert on Shadow Swampert on the lead. And I used Pidgeot Safe Swap. And then the next day, it's gone. So I'm just like, I'm excited to use different Pidgeot teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have, Ugh.
You must have been killing it. You're beating them with the strat and the game crashes.
Yeah. No, I was so confused because I was streaming to my patrons.
Yeah.
And I was so confused. I'm like, these servers are so laggy because I'm like, my opponents, like, just it wouldn't happen all the time, though.
Yeah.
It's only like happened every now and then. And I'm like, my opponent, why are they, my opponents disconnecting? And then why is my phone crashing now? Like, I don't get it.
It's the kind of lag where it looks like you might be lagging, but it turns out it's even worse on your opponent's end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just, we were thoroughly confused. And lo and behold, Niantic bans Pidgeot because it was causing people's games to crash with its move. And I'm like, oh man.
You know, we might get a sneak peek at Pidgeot again before Season 9 rolls around because... I don't know if you've seen this in the past, but usually when there's a league rotation, Pidgeot is available for like a few minutes. So,
oh, yeah.
So, this upcoming Monday, it looks like we might be able to.
Yeah, if you're there on Monday for the rotation, try Pidgeot in Great League and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm usually, it depends on what I'm doing, but there's a lot of times where I can't. So I will be streaming or I will be coaching someone at that time too. But yeah. But a lot of times they give a shot themselves. Like, let's try it. I was like, all right. And lo and behold, they can usually use it for like the first battle.
Yeah.
But
I think so. What I'm learning is, and I think everyone can kind of, we can all kind of relate to this when it comes to Go Battle League. I think we all love or really enjoy Great League because it's accessibility, wide variety of Pokemon. I know a lot of you are like, well, I hate Azumarill. There's like 5,000 counters to Azumarill that you can run that are all spicy and stuff. And Ultra League used to be like a second favorite. Like the old Premier Cup was like the holy ground of the new Great League. Like it was the chosen one. But XO Candy has kind of ruined that.
Yes.
A part of like feedback, so like with the Heroes Niantic, they've reached out to creators, myself included, to kind of give feedback to them. A part of like the feedback is the fact that XO Pokemon are so dominant. I'm not worried about XO Pokemon being strong. I'm worried about one leagues that coincide with it, that if there's a heavy XO like XO Remix Cup, you need a XL Classic so that there's no XL Pokemon involved, at the same time. And the second thing is like, can we please consider giving people under level 40 XL Candy? Like,
oh, 1000%.
Like, what?
The grind is so nuts already. Imagine,
you have to hit, like, it took me 3 years to hit 40. And granted, they have a lot more experience events now where you can get all these multipliers. Back then, there wasn't. It was like the classic grind. But still, the fact that it's an XL pure heavy event of Open Ultra League and XL Remix Cup, you're level 37, so you can't even have access to XL Candy. No matter how much you play, you could have all the candy in the world for Pidgeot, but you will never get XL Candy because you're not level 40. I'm like, that's just asking for it.
Because then once you hit it, you're still behind, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So like, that's going to be a part of like my conversation from my perspective, stuff like that. Because it's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
like
take this event, for example, right? We talked about both that the sheep thing and the squirrel thing, right? Both of them need XL candies for Ultra League if you want to run them.
Yeah.
Right? And like, if you're not level 40 during this event... Yeah, you could get XL candies down the road, but they're not going to be spawning in this frequency anymore. You know, it's going to be 10 times harder, maybe more than 10 times harder to build these XL mods.
The system is broken. I fully appreciate the end game. Creating XL Pokemon has given a new level of incentive. But you have to balance that. Yes, you know?
I agree.
You have to balance it.
You know, I can see maybe their thought process behind that is, maybe we want to encourage people to try to get to level 40 as soon as possible. That's why they can't get XLs. But, like, the benefit should really just be you can't power anything up with XL Sundew, you get love for you. That's already incentive enough, you know?
Yeah.
Let alone the, like, the candies. Like, people always want the candies, right? But it's just...
Yeah, like, imagine if you're level 30. I'm sure someone listening to this right now is, like, level 35, 36, 37. Imagine how excited they would actually be to play the game if they could actually get XL candy. Because they probably had an EV Community Day weekend the other weekend. And they thought to themselves, I'd love to play this if I could get XL candy, but since I can't, I'm not going to. You know?
This also benefits Niantic revenue-wise, too, I think. Because if you're under level 40 and you see all these raids, are you going to, you know, raid your butt off when you know that you have to do it all again for the XLs to power up these things, right? Like, if it was me, I'd be like, you know what, I'm just going to spend my daily passes until I hit level 40. Like, why spend all these remote raid passes or premium passes if I can't even get the XLs needed to power this up to level 50 yet?
Yeah.
Like,
I had to raid them later. I didn't even think about the raid bosses.
Yeah, exactly.
It's guaranteed. I take that for granted.
Yeah, except for, you know, if you're under 40, if you're not, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's might be some that still use remote raids and premium passes, but I feel bad for them because they got to do it all over again, you know, when they actually hit level 40 for the same raid bosses, right? Like, if it was me, I'd probably just wait till I hit level 40 to really go hard on it. I'll just do my daily pass, you know.
So this is like passes. This is why I'm taking a stance when it comes to my feedback of, like, we need fair accessibility to everyone, and we need a balance. If you're gonna have two leagues, you need to have a balance that goes, and they've done a great job in previous seasons of a master league and a specialty cup. That has been the best thing I've ever seen, right? Master League Classic and Halloween Cup. Master League Classic and Great League Remix. Like, I love it. It's phenomenal. And now it's Master League Classic and XL Premier Cup and Ultra League.
There's Ultra League Remix, Ultra League Premier. Like, they're all just heavy, heavy XLs. You said it earlier, right? And in terms of, like, it was hard for you to, you know, even, like, do... go positive, right? In Ultra League.
Yeah, it was just like a slow and steady, like, oh, cool. I went 1-4 again. I went 2-3
exactly.
Again.
Exactly. And I'm telling you all too, right? Because I'm on the other end, right? I invest a lot of XLs into this stuff. But the thing is, there's almost no one I face, right? I'm in like the 3400s elo range. There's no one I face that is running triple non-XL and consistently climbing. Like, it's just... Yeah. Like,
no, there's not.
Maybe
you
could win
it.
A few battles here or there. Maybe you could go positive in one or two sets and stuff.
Yeah.
But to consistently do that, like, you got to be playing out of your mind, right? And if you are, kudos to you, right? But you, like, you're definitely, if you're doing it on purpose, you're definitely playing hard mode. And if you don't have the resource for it, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
But it's just unfair, right? Like, I've tried, like, for the team I'm running, I have two XLs in it. Mm-hmm. And I tried running it with just one less XL with like a replacement for it, and it is significantly harder to win, right? And, you know, if I replace both XLs, I'm pretty much going to be going negative consistently, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe not everyone's goal is to climb to 3400s, but the thing is, like, if it works there, it's going to be easier in other ELO ranges.
Dude, can you imagine how easy it would be if you're at 2000 rating right now and you had triple XL Pokemon XLs? That you like you run like Alolan Ninetales, Jellicent and Politoed that are all XL. I mean, you could blast through teams even if you mess up because there's so much stats there.
Absolutely. You just have so much bulk. Like, even if you don't have the lineman you want, you're like, you know, like the fact that alone Ninetales with Power Stone could almost beat a G-Fist, right? But, you know, come to think of it, if they're running something like an Excadrill that's not XL'd, that could change things completely, right? And
it's silly. And it's the thing is, it's like, it's not like they don't know about pvpoke.com.
Mm-hmm.
They know about that. There's no way, you know, like, so like how you could, if you're going to say, okay, we're going to ban legendary, or we're going to ban the top 20 Pokemon used.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a custom meta on pvpoke.com and remove the, like, set in the top 20 that you want to have selected, delete them, and see what it gives you. And if it gives you freaking 27 out of 30 being XL or legendaries, there's an issue.
It's top usage doesn't actually mean most impactful, you know. Top usage is just what's most available, right?
Yeah.
And what's solid, but
yeah,
like, you know, Ultra League Remix, all the good stuff are still there because they're so inaccessible the prior season. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I don't also want to take away from the fun of players who do grind for it and have it. But like I said earlier, I want to have a balance when it comes to leagues available. So if they have Ultra League Remix, have Ultra League Premier Cup Classic next to it or something.
Yeah.
So there's a fair balance where people who don't have XL or who are not at level 40 can compete there in a much more fair balanced space than having forced to face an onslaught of XL Pokemon.
I can't speak for other people that have grinded for XL Mons as well, but I will say I'm sure some would also feel the same way. Is even for those that did grind for these XL Mons, it's boring. I have the resources needed to stay competitive, but I'm seeing like the same five to seven Pokemon Ultra League Remix, you know, myself. And like, yeah, like I know how to beat it now, right? Or I know I'm going to lose to it depending on the team comp, but like it's just boring for me to see too, you know? It's just not fun.
I was watching Tho Technical the other night.
Uh-huh.
And he got to 30, I think it was 3,500 in Ultra League Premier, like the current thing.
Was he using Triple Grass?
Triple Grass, yeah.
Yeah.
Because all he's seeing is Jellicent and Politoed in the back every single game. So he has three grass Pokemon, so they have nowhere to go. And he's just steamrolling his way through the upper ranks. Now, granted, he has XL, right?
So exactly. He still has XL.
There's still XL grass Pokemon. Yeah, he had Ferrothorn, or no, Cradilly, Ludicolo, and Roserade. I don't think Roserade is XL. Not, yeah.
But the other two are. That's two. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, even the weird spicy teams you see in the top of the leaderboard are still running XLs, right? They might not be the standard XLs you see, but Ludicolo and Cradilly, you need a hundo just to even hit close to 2,500, right? And
it was just hilarious because it's the meta is so predictable.
Yeah.
That it's like nine. It's like the same thing kind of with Master League. I was shoutcasting a video the other day and I thought, you know, taking a look at this guy's lineup so far, the two Pokemon we've seen, it would make sense for Dialga to be there. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't Dialga. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, Dialga comes out. It's like, it's that predictable. And same with like my battles. Like some teams I see, like I faced a Dialga on the lead with my Garchomp. I safe swapped to Lugia. They brought in Excadrill. I'm like, cool, they have double steel. And they did a steel on the lead and a steel in the back. So they don't have an answer for ground. So they're either going to have Giratina Origin or Kyogre. Sure enough, it was Kyogre, and because I predicted that, I played that accordingly and won.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's so predictable because there's not a lot of variety, and the higher you climb, the tighter the variety gets.
Yeah, and that's what people leave these comments on my YouTube videos sometimes, and nothing against them, right? But they're like, wow, even you're using XLs and stuff. I'm like, dude, like, I'm not going to make a video and be disingenuous and be like, you go climb to the top of the leaderboard with triple non-X. It's not possible, right? Like, I don't want to, right? Like, I would love to use something spicier, but every single time I try to go anti-meta and go spicy, it's like 100 rankings below everything else that are XL'd, and there's a reason why it's so ranked so poorly, right? It's just, at least in Great League, we have XLs, but there's... The impact is much smaller. The impact in Ultra League, the difference is so big that it just, you can't get away from it, you know? And it is what it is, you know? I mean, I commend people that can make it work, but at the same time, like, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. Unless they show you, like, how, like, what their ELO range is at and how many battles they do, like, I'm sure I could get away with a triple non-XL team for like one set maybe in my ELO range, but I'd be kidding if I said I'm using that for 2 weeks straight. So
when it comes to, I mean, there's more to this Heroes Niantic thing, because I think a lot of people think it's just because of the Pokestop. Sorry, like, we're kind of changing topics a bit.
That's a good transition, though.
Yeah.
Our next
so a lot of people think it's like we're just fighting for the Pokestop to come back. That's a part of it. But it's so much bigger than that. It's like years of poor communication and no quality of life updates or fixing stuff that they bring to the game. Because everything that comes out, whatever the new feature is, eventually always has annoying issues with it that don't get fixed. You know, like some of the stuff I'm going to bring up is like something basic, right? Why haven't there been haircuts? The game's been out for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Why? Like, it's that, it's the little things that this community wants. Why aren't there haircuts? You know, you guys have watches, shoes, there's socks, there's stickers, there's backpacks and jackets and shirts and hair color and hats and balloons or whatever. But there's no haircuts. I'm like, how? Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's go back 5 years. Let's give us haircuts. Why is there no ready button for raids?
Yes, that would help them a lot too. From a raid perspective, people can raid more during
exactly raid like it is in their best interest. Like, I feel like I'm going to be telling Niantic like, what is in their best interest as a company to make more money. Exactly. Like, put a ready button in, because what you get is people who have preset groups of six people or three people or duos who want to grind a bunch of raids. But they're limited by time because of a 2-minute lobby. So eliminate the 2-minute lobby, and then you just basically multiplied the amount of revenue you can come in. And not only that, you don't waste everyone's time. So it's like stuff like that. Or like, go Battle League, right? I don't know if you have. I have run into it, and my wife has run into it because she still dabbles in Go Battle League. Go her.
Yes,
but she only does Great League though. But <That's fair. laughs> she's run out of Pokeballs, especially after events. She runs out of Pokeballs, and she can't capture the Pokemon from the reward. Therefore, she can't finish the set and do more battles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, why hasn't this been addressed? Because they have a system for it. Your daily Pokemon spins, where you go to a Pokestop and spin the task, you can run from that reward and it stocks it above, so you can keep playing and spinning Pokestops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why isn't that in the game? Like, it's just all of these things. Like, everyone thinks it's about the Pokestop spin distance, but I'm like coming in with like firepower of like, you guys need to address quality of life stuff, because people are tired. They're tired of this broken game. They're tired of all these issues. And all you do is give us FOMO events. So,
yeah, and the funny thing is, they did give us a quality of life update, which was the spin distance, and they took it away.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh,
is this why? Like, they spent the effort to take it away, right? They had to go in there and recode it, right, for certain countries. You know, they took extra work. It took them extra work to take away a quality of life update, which is just
and this is why, like, all of this is why I'm not giving them money anymore, like. As a creator in this space, and I make money from YouTube revenue and whatnot, it's in my best interest to spend money on the game to get more of the, the shiny Dialga for Master League or whatever. Like, I could spend money and get that and get more click-throughs on YouTube, but that's not the point. It's never been the point of my YouTube channel, because if it was, then you'd be seeing FOMO thumbnails of all these shiny stuff and rare stuff all the time, but I don't, because I want to play Go Battle League. That's what I do.
Right.
And it's like, because of all this stuff that they haven't fixed, I should have deemed it a long time ago, but I'm deeming now that Niantic does not deserve my money until they address these issues, until they show a consistent historical habit of fixing and bringing quality of life updates to the game rather than consistent FOMO events. They can do it in tandem. Like, I don't mind Ultra Unlock Week 3. This is cool stuff. It's a cool new raid boss. There's cool new wild Pokemon. It's great. It gets me out to catch it. But ultimately, you also have to take care of the game that you've created, you know?
Yeah, so, and stop making everything behind a paywall, right?
Like, all these new shinies. Dude, like if you had wild Spongefisks, and now it's behind paywall.
All the shinies. All the new shinies are behind paywalls, right? It's just well, I mean, let's not talk about Heracross last week. I mean, let's talk about it. But like, you know, like, here's the thing. I mean, I don't live in a region where Heracross widely spawns, but I feel their pain, man. Like, in your local region where Heracross will be spawning, that was turned off too. Like, that's
It'd be like here. It's like Mr. Mime being like turned off. It's like a shiny Mr. Mime event, and then they turn it off. And I'm like, what? We've had Mr. Mime forever.
This is unprecedented, because they've never even done this for any other regionals when yeah. they released a shiny version of them. You know, they
yeah. didn't get rid of whoever's in charge of the marketing strategy for these events or whatever needs a serious yeah. talking to.
Yeah, it's just,
and I'm happy to give it to them.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I'm gonna be constructive and positive about it, but I'm gonna let them know, like, look, you guys have met. We are here because you haven't done what needs to be done.
Yes,
you know, and so that's what I want people to know, because a lot I see so many people on comments when I post something like I'm going to be a part of the creators team to talk to Niantic, say, oh, you know, you don't actually represent us because you're a creator and you make money off of this game, so you actually don't care about the needs of the people, or you know, stop trying to talk to them about spin distance, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, dude, I play this game too, and it's not about the spin distance, it's about everything else. Mm-hmm. The spin distance was just the fire point. That ignited yep. the pile of trash that's been piling up for 5 years. Yeah. So, you know, like,
the answer surprised us the very following week with the Heracross thing. Like,
yeah, like, and then New Zealand gets one COVID case and they go into lockdown because their country values keeping everything as safe and secure as possible, and they revert it for their, you know, which is yeah. understandable because the country deemed locking down, therefore Niantic's policy is countries under lockdown get the bone, you know what I mean?
But I mean, looking at the United States though, like, you know, you can say New Zealand, but the United States is not even close, you know, to
oh yeah
addressing the pandemic, and
yeah,
move the distance there.
But like, what I'm trying to get about this spin distance thing is it's no longer about COVID. It's not like mm-hmm. if your country is in lockdown and you're only allowed to leave the house to go to medical emergency, to go to the hospital or go to the grocery store, which England has been in multiple times.
Right.
You're not really going out to play. I mean, I guess you can, but you're really not doing, like, you're staying at home. So spin distance, whether it's 80 meters or 40 meters or 5,000 meters, I mean, the 5,000 would be nice, but it doesn't matter. So the quality of life update that they gave because of COVID, I think, is irrelevant. Yeah. Because if you're stuck at home, you're stuck at home. You're not in a major city walking around spinning stops, you know?
Right.
So let's take COVID out of the picture of this argument of spin distance, 40 meters or 80 meters. 40 meters makes you have to basically be on top of the object, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? Which is great yeah. for exploration. We've had it for multiple years. But when you double the distance of something and that brings a positive impact to your community, COVID or not, just the impact of the quality of life feature, it's very positive. Everyone loved it. I was so happy with it. I'm like, oh, I can hit that stop that I couldn't hit before. And the thing is when I play, I'm not exploring the world. I play in the town that I've lived in for years. So I'm not, oh yes, that park sign over there that I've seen 5,000 times, you know, oh, I got to go over and make sure I adventure next to that. No, I'm trying to play Pokemon Go and spin stops and catch Pokemon. So when you take yeah. that away, then I'm like, what are you doing? It's nothing to do with COVID. Mm-hmm. You've obviously got something else going on, whether that's third party sponsors that have Pokestops like Starbucks or Verizon or whatever it is. I'm not going to go into the tinfoil hat of it, but it just doesn't make sense if you're looking outside of COVID, you know?
Yeah, and the way I've read their response letter to us, the whole, like, we'll give you an update on the September 1st thing, is, and they posted on their Twitter and website, too, if anyone wants to read that. But, you know, part of it seems like they value a lot of, like, the in-person interactions people have from, you know, walking closer to gyms and Pokestops stuff, right? And let's say, hypothetically, if the pandemic was truly over, right, and, you know, that was not a concern, it's just, I don't think that's stopping people from interacting and making friends and stuff. And here's the thing, like, you know, extra 40 meters. But also the thing is, like, is this the hill they want to die on? You know, yeah. like, it's like this is it. Like, they are so dead set. Like, the thing that's like, and I'm really glad, you know, you're part of this task, you know, provide feedback. I don't know if this is a task force or just a group of creators that provide.
It's a group of creators. Yeah. What we're allowed to say, it's a group of creators that will be talking with members of the Niantic task force in multiple days of meetings.
I'm glad, because I honestly, if this wasn't like a thing, right, and it was just them making decisions, it's hard to be hopeful, because if they understood just on a base level of why people are upset, or, you know, want some of these changes reverted, they would have done it, right? They wouldn't have been like, we will revisit on September 1st, right? Like,
yeah,
no, you should just revert it now, and then we can talk about stuff.
And getting right? back to the community, like, they want communities to communicate more, or whatever, interact more. I'm like, okay, so my play area, I live in a town that has three miniature towns in it. It's called Lower, Upper, and Greater. It's the basically the build phases that this town went through, right?
Right.
I live in Upper, and Upper has basically the place to play in Upper is this massive park. There's four gyms. There's like seven Pokestops scattered around, and it's around a nice asphalt tracked park that has a kid's playground and an open field and a little shopping center right next to it for foods and drinks, kind of like a 7-Eleven. It's called Co-op here.
Uh-huh. Right.
But if I can spin the stop on the kid's playground across the field because of the 80 meters, that's not going to stop me from going up and saying hi to my locals who are doing a gym raid at the solid stone gym that we have here. It's just a giant rock that's just been plunked onto the grass. It's not going to stop me from walking around and saying hi to them and how have things been going. It's not. Yeah. You know, the spin distance has nothing to do with that. So, again, like you said, it's like a scapegoat for something. They, like, want to die on this hill. And my only thought is they might get a lot of revenue. This is all speculation. I have no actual knowledge of it. But on outside looking in, like, sponsored stops, Verizon and Starbucks and what have you, they probably don't see any foot traffic. I'm like, well, is it because of the spin distance or is it because of COVID? Like... Yeah. Or, you know, like if I'm going through a town that has a Starbucks and I see it on the Pokestop, I'll go, oh, Starbucks, I haven't had that in 2.5 years. Let's go ahead and go in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
another part of it might be like, let's say, I think Samsung's still one of their sponsors. So let's say if Samsung sponsored Pokestop, right?
Yeah.
It's a Pokestop. They're like, well, we haven't gotten a lot of customers ever, even though these are sponsored. The thing is, like, why would I go into a Samsung store?
Like, you know, what am I gonna do?
Exactly. Like, I have an iPhone and I have like a Sprint iPhone. Like, it's just like, what am I going to do in the Samsung store? And like, you know, like, I mean, that's unfortunate because maybe Samsung thought it would increase their traffic, but like, it's just, why? What do you want people loitering in there, not even buying anything? Right? Like, that doesn't make sense either, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just, and then on top of that, how common are these sponsored stops? Because I don't have a single sponsored stop here.
Yeah, I have a few, but not that many. And the thing is, like, you know what? If that's the case, just make those 40 kilometers, right? I'm cool with that. You know?
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't. What makes sense is the decision was made by someone who doesn't play the game and is more focused on what the original calling of Pokemon Go was supposed to be rather than the reality of what it is now.
Yeah, we've evolved. You know?
We've evolved. Yeah. And the thing is like, it doesn't give me too much hope. Like, we're having this meeting, but do you know who Liz is?
I do, and she left.
Yeah, she left. Guys, Liz was the community manager for Niantic. She was the direct line of communication from Niantic to Liz to the sponsored creators. So for like the last year and a half, I've been in communication with her and other creators, you know, talking about stuff. Like, we'd get a little heads up about, hey, this event is dropping, right? Like Ultra Unlock 3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'd get a little advance notice, that way everyone can get their graphics made and their videos prepped and everything. That way when it drops, that's why you see all the news the second it comes out. For me, I don't do those events. I just do Go Battle League season rotations, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll see my video. The second it's announced, you'll see my video drop. But Liz also asked for our feedback. We'd give her, she'd be like, okay, what do you guys think about this? What do you guys want to see changed? Ask people around your community, like, give us feedback. And we'd all, for the last couple of years, we've given feedback, but we never hear anything back. And then she quit. So I'm like, if the person representing us who has been trying to push to Niantic the feedback that we've been giving her quits, maybe she hit a wall. And I'm like, oh no.
Dude, out of all in the history of timely events, she timed that resignation perfectly.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I think it was like, here's nice. I think it was like a day or two later. And she was like, you know what? Good for her. You know, I think she's moving on to other things. And, you know, I'm happy for her too. I don't know super well, but I do, you know, follow her on Twitter and stuff too. And yeah. Engage her a little bit there. But
yeah. And I've had, you know, that's she's such a sweet soul. And yeah. I've had so many talks with her, especially like when I was interviewing to apply for the thing or whatever. And uh-huh. It was all these great talks, and she's a great person, and she really fought for the community. And so many people gave her crap, and they shouldn't for all this, like, yeah, what she just did, like, for us. It's not even, dude,
her job a lot of times too. What people gave her crap, gosh, for? I was just like, what? Like,
dude,
just...
she was the Superman that we need. That we had. We had a Superman, right? Or one. We had a Wonder Woman, right?
Yes. Yes.
And she decided to move on, and I'm just like, oh no. But now we're having this meeting, and I'm like, well, who am I going to be talking to, you know?
Right. Who's the new Liz?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I just want to let you guys know that I'm gonna fight the good fight. I'm going to say what needs to be said. Yep. If they don't like it and I get kicked out of the community program, so be it. But, like, it has to be said. They have to do something different. Yeah. Otherwise, the game has been dying for 5 years, and it's going to die rapidly if they don't.
Yep. And, so, you know, honestly, they want your feedback. They want your honesty, right? They should appreciate it even if it's not something they want to hear, because you're trying to help save the game. You know,
I'm literally giving them the keys to the kingdom. Right. The roadmap to the treasure, to the Holy Land. Like
just take it.
Like, we're simple people, man. We like 80 meter spin stops. Like, you know, all of it. I know there's the whole go battle lag and all that stuff, but it's probably more complicated than just a simple, I should press P here instead of O on this out, you know, whatever. It's probably like server sizes and blah, blah, blah. But like, hey, we want haircuts. Hey, we want, you know, ready ups and raids. Hey, we want the friends list to not load 5,000 things at once and I can't scroll through. Hey, we want to be able to put down six star pieces at once instead of pressing one and then going back into items and scrolling and pressing one and going back into the items and scroll. Like, it's little things that we want.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, thank you ahead of time for your work in this, and hopefully, you know, we'll see. We're only about 10 days, 11 days until the September 1st update.
I know, deadline, dude. I can't say like when the meetings are or who. Whatever. That's but
totally understandable.
They're happening and gonna be happening. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Because I brought up the issue, they put all of the meetings at would be equivalent of mine midnight, and I'm like, can you guys not? Like, some of us live in Europe, okay?
Midnight? That's so early. That's so late.
Dude.
That's so late for that. Like, why not?
Not do it at the start of their day?
Yeah, I get the West Coast, but yeah, like it just
It's West Coast end of their day, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. That's
Anyways,
I had to dip in about like a few, but we could talk quickly about Unite if
I actually have to dip.
Oh, okay, no worries. Okay, we'll talk about it next time.
We'll talk about Unite on the next one. So quick recap, if you've been under a rock for Unite, Gardevoir is in the game, which is super fun. Blissey's in the game, absolutely broken.
Yep.
Mamoswine and Sylveon and Blastoise are coming to the game, and they look like a ton of fun.
Yep. Game updates quickly. They rebalance stuff super quickly.
They rebalance stuff like every 2 weeks. Yeah, like, there's always updates and adjustments to make sure things are more balanced. They're doing a great job.
Yeah.
But yeah. For so sure. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. We're gonna be back next week. maybe I'll have information to share. I don't know if they'll let me talk about what happened, because I am under like NDAs and whatnot.
Yeah, it's all good, because even if you can't say anything, we'll find out within a few days afterward, right?
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. No one can stop me from putting an emoji on or a GIF on Twitter, right?
So, I will bring out my magnifying glass to decode it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I could be talking about something else, right? All right. Anyways, yeah. Guys, have a good one. We'll catch you guys next week, all right?
See you later. Bye.